stand, if you can stand and take the Word of God in your hands, and we will read from the Word of God. We'll read from the Holy Scriptures. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Another somewhat familiar passage of Scripture this time of year, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 12 of Matthew chapter 2. Verses 1 through 12, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time this star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Topic this morning is really a question, and I will kind of elaborate on it in just a moment. But my topic this morning is fake, ritualistic, or real? Fake, ritualistic, or real? You may be seated. Fake, ritualistic, or real? Fake, ritualistic, or real? Father, I pray that indeed you would give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech, dear God. I pray that your word would come clearly and go clearly to your people, that we all might hear a word from you, dear God, and in hearing from you, that we might all make necessary adjustments in our lives for the glory of you, dear God, and for our growth in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Fake, ritualistic, or real? In today's classic and memorable text, Matthew chapter 2, there are characters in these particular verses. Of course, the primary character, of course, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Christ child, Emmanuel, God with us, who, of course, we celebrate this season by this birth and life. But there are three other groups in this these 12 verses that I want, as I go through them, want you to be praying and asking yourself, which group do I fit into? You want to write these down. The first group is this single guy. It's this ruling man, King Herod. This ruler, King Herod. He is, write this down, he is a fake worshiper. He is a fake worshiper, King Herod. He is a fake worshiper. This ruling man by the name of Herod, he is a fake worshiper. The second group in the text before us this morning is the group of the religious men. The religious men, the chief priests and scribes, the religious men, the chief priests and scribes. They knew the scriptures. They had the scriptures. These religious men, the chief priests and scribes, we'll call them ritualistic worshipers. We'll call them ritualistic. Ritualistic worshipers, R-I-T-U-A-L-I-S-T-I-C, ritualistic worshipers. And there's a third group, This is the group you want to be in. There's a third group, the wise men. We will call them real worshipers, authentic worshipers, genuine worshipers, the wise men. They were real worshipers, genuine worshipers, authentic worshippers, the wise men. They were the real worshippers. So three groups in the text before us. And as we go through this morning, be praying. So, oh, which one of these am I in? Now, sometimes you may go in and out of different one of these groups, but you want to make sure that you primarily stay in that group of called real worshippers. Fake worshippers, ritualistic worshippers, or real worshippers. Verse 1 and 2 of this great text starts out by saying, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has to be born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come, we have come to worship him. These wise men say, we have come to worship him. These wise men were also called magi. They were astrologers. They studied the stars. They sought wisdom. They were priests. And it appears as though they had some access to the sacred scriptures of the Bible. They go all the way back. They came from the east. They were from the area of Babylon. So back hundreds of years ago when Daniel and others were captured by the Babylonians. These wise men, that's why wherever you go, Steve prayed it earlier, wherever you go, young people, older people, you should make a difference wherever you are. So it appears as though when Daniel and the Hebrew boys and others were down in Babylon, that they exposed the pagans, those who weren't saved, who weren't Christians, who weren't Jews, to the scriptures. So some of those, like these wise men in the text, knew a little bit about the Messiah. They weren't Jews. They were Gentiles, but they knew just enough. They know a little bit about the scripture. So when they saw that star, they began to follow that star. These wise men, even though they weren't Jews, they began to follow that star because of, once again, their exposure to the scriptures through people like Daniel. So the wise men, but also in these verses 1 and 2, you see King Herod. He was a ruthless leader, and I'll give you a little more insight on him in just a minute. He was a ruthless leader. He's what we call a fake worshiper. And the wise men, once again, were real worshipers. You want to be a real and genuine worshiper this morning, saints. You know, God seeks true worshipers, and those of us who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God gives us a lot of latitude in worship about worship styles and music, but he said it has to be in spirit and in truth. That's true worship. Spirit and in truth. So this star follows, they follow this star. It was it was a miracle of God. That's what it was. It was basically kind of like an ancient GPS system. It led the wise men from the east, and they had been journeying a long period of time, up to almost about 2 years. They had been journeying, following this star, looking for Jesus, looking for the birth of the Messiah. And so here it is. They roll into Jerusalem. They roll up into Jerusalem, and of course Christ was born in Bethlehem. Jerusalem and Bethlehem are only about 8 miles apart. And they roll up into Jerusalem, this caravan, and I know we often talk about three wise men. We don't know how many there were. They bought those three different types of gifts, but there were wise men, and they had probably attendants with them, and they were carrying a lot of wealthy stuff, so they probably had some little military men with them. So it was a caravan. It was quite a few of them. So they come in town talking about, where is the king of the Jews? So because of that, that kind of worries King Herod. So look at verse 3. Herod, the king, when he heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Why? Because he's the king. I'm the king. And so somebody else, I'm like, where is this other king? That's going to trouble me. That's going to worry me. And King Herod, it's an awesome thing about the Word of God. There are a lot of things, as we study the Bible, there are a lot of other history books that kind of help give us some insight that maybe might not be in the Bible. And King Herod, he was a crazy king. The historians write about King Herod. He was a fool. Somebody said he was a fool. I don't use that word loosely. He was a fool. A historian said that he had one of his wives killed. Also, he was so insecure in his kingship, he had many of his sons killed. Because, you know, typically your son would succeed you at some point. So King Herod said, no, rather than let him succeed me, I just kill my son. So he was crazy. So when he began to hear all this, the Bible says that he was troubled and all of the town was troubled with him. Why? Well, he is the king. He does have some power and authority. And if the king is a fool, when he started hearing all this, the king gonna do some foolish stuff. Fools do foolish stuff. I've learned it in my years of living. Fools do foolish stuff. And so the town, not just the king, but the whole town was troubled. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna show you how foolish he was. If you have your Bibles open in Matthew 2. When the king heard about this, he kind of got with the wise men later on and figured out about when that star appeared. And so this is prophecy being fulfilled. As a matter of fact, verses 16 of Matthew 2 says, when Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, he was exceedingly angry and he sent forth and listen, put death to all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all this district from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. So Herod was so crazy, he said, okay, some new king in town was born maybe almost 2 years ago. Go get all the babies 2 years and under and just kill them all. And that's what he did. That's what he did in verse 3. Once again, he was a fake worshiper. We'll see that in just a minute. Verse 3, he was a fake worshiper. Verse 4 says, he gathered all the chief priests and scribes. Remember, the chief priests and scribes, they are the ritualistic worshipers. They are the ritualistic worshipers, the chief priests and scribes. He gathered them together and he inquired them where the Christ was to be born. Where is this new king? Where is he going to be born? And then he went on and says, where will he be born? And look, so they said, listen to what they said in verses 5. Listen to what they said. They said, he will be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler, that's Jesus, who will shepherd my people Israel. He will shepherd my people Israel. So here's a picture, here's a scene. King Herod gathers the religious leaders together. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, the priests, he gathers them together and says, where will this child be born? These men, these wise men talking about a new king being born. Do you all know where he would be born? And so I can see them even now kind of searching the scripture. Maybe they might have known right in their mind, right off the top. Oh, yeah, the prophet Micah said he would be born in Bethlehem. Now look, the religious leaders, we call them the ritualistic worshipers, they had the scriptures in their hand. They had evidence of where the Christ would be born, but they refused to act on it. You would think, just like the wise men who were seeking Christ, you would think the ritualistic men, the religious leaders who had it in their hands where he would be born in Bethlehem, you would think they would be looking for Christ. Listen, don't miss this. You could be sitting here this morning with the Bible in your hand and still not be looking for the Lord. They had the Bible in their hands. They knew where he would be born, but they still weren't seeking God. But it's an amazing thing. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is accurate. It's true. Here it is. They asking these religious leaders, where will he be born? And they were able to go back to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, Brother Micah. Micah chapter 5, verse 5. I was telling them yesterday, I said, I got some homework for you down at the community kitchen. I want you to find out Micah. And he knew quite a little bit about Micah. I said, find out what chapter 5 and verse 2 say. And this morning he told me. He said, Micah chapter 5, verse 2 said, Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. And listen, that was written hundreds of years before it happened. Y'all not hearing me? That was written hundreds of years before it happened. That's what we call, for the skeptic anyway, that's what we call internal evidence that the Bible is true. This was written down, locked down in people's hands hundreds of years before it happened. And guess what? He was born in Bethlehem. I said he was born in Bethlehem. You can trust the word of God. You can trust the word of God. If God has said it, it is true. If he has said it, it's going to come to pass. You don't have to be wondering, well, I don't know if that one's going to come to pass. Now, yeah, everything that's written in the Bible is going to come to pass. The Bible hadn't missed one yet. Check me out. Isaiah 7:14, just a few messianic prophecies. Isaiah 7:14, written hundreds of years. Isaiah said that the Messiah will be born of a virgin. Now, where are they doing that at? That's never happened before. Never will it ever happen again. He was born of a virgin. Check, check. Born of a virgin. Listen to this. Isaiah 61, the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 61 said this. Says the Spirit of the Lord, talking about Christ, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now that was written in Isaiah chapter 61. Read it later, verses 1 and 2. Here it is when Jesus Christ was on the scene after he gets baptized in Luke chapter 4, after he's led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. He comes out of the wilderness, goes into the synagogue, which often was his custom. And when Jesus comes into the synagogue in Luke chapter 4, they hand him the scriptures. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, takes the scriptures. He thumbs through it and he gets to Isaiah chapter 61 verses 1 and 2, what I just read. And Jesus reads that to the listening audience and everybody is watching him. And Jesus hands it back to the attendant. He said, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, Jesus said, the prophet Isaiah was writing about me. He said, the prophet Isaiah was writing about me. And when Jesus came, guess what? He did bring good news to the afflicted. He did come and bind up the brokenhearted. He did proclaim liberty to the captives. He did preach freedom to prisoners. He did proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. He did come and preach vengeance of our God. He did come and comfort all those who mourn. In other words, he walked the earth. It was prophesied what he would do while he was on planet earth. And guess what? He did everything that the Bible said he would do while he was on planet earth. He cleansed the lepers. He gave eyesight to the blind. He even rose people from the dead. Y'all don't hear me this morning. He did all those things. Matter of fact, even when he was on the cross, he was rolling decks through his mind. Make sure I do everything that the word of God said. And he even said, they gave him some vinegar, if you will, to drink on the cross. He did everything that was prophesied about him. You know, it was prophesied exactly how he would die. I mean, he came as a savior, and you know, to die on a cross, that's not what the average savior would do. If you come as a savior, you're going to free your people, right, and lead them out of captivity. But the Bible said, no, he's going to die on the cross. And guess what? He died on the cross. I said, he died on the cross. The word of God even said hundreds of years before it happened, even while he was on the cross, they would be gambling for his cloak down at the foot of the cross. Guess what? They were gambling for his cloak at the foot of the cross. The Old Testament writers even said not only will he die on the cross, he's going to be buried, but then he's going to come back to life again one day. And guess what? Guess what? The religious leaders, they knew that. They knew that. When they buried Christ, they said, wait a minute, bring some extra guards because, you know, the Bible says and you know, the disciples been saying he's going to come back to life. So guard the tomb real safely. They're going to come and try to kind of steal him out of the tomb. But guess what? They I don't care how hard they guarded the tomb. You couldn't keep Christ in the tomb because the Bible says he's going to rise again with all power in his hands. And he did. Check, check, check. Everything the Bible said he would do, he did. Born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, died on the cross, laid in a borrowed tomb, rose again with all power in his hands. Check, 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 all that came true. Wait a minute, I'm still not through. The Bible not only said he's going to die on the cross as a sacrifice for you and for me, but also the Bible said he would be our high priest. The Bible said he would be our high priest. He would be praying for you and for me. Now, y'all should know that from John 17 series I just did. Guess what? Guess what? He's in heaven right now. He's in heaven right now praying for you and you and you and you and you and me. He's praying for even right now. Check, check, check. Everything that the Bible says is true. Everything that the Bible said about Jesus has either come true or it's going to come true. Wait a minute, I got one more. I'm still not through. The Bible also says that not only Jesus would be born of a virgin, Not only did he live a perfect sin-free life, not only would he go to a cross and die for your sins and my sins, not only would he be laid in a borrowed tomb and come back to life with all power in his hand, not only would he be in heaven praying for you and for me, but also, somebody say also, also the Bible says he's coming back again one day. Oh, do I have any real worshipers in the house today? He's coming back again one day. I know he's coming back again one day. He came the first time. He's coming back a second time. Some people, you know, some people doubt. I'm not just going to say some fools. I don't use that word lightly. The fool that said in his heart there is no God, the Bible says. Some fools say that Christ didn't even come the first time. I mean, I know he came because the Bible tells me. And I know he came because he's in my life. But even historically, even history, even the pagans or whatever, some pagans are unsaved or who has written certain historical things, it even tells that Christ came. Check this out. Every time you look at a calendar, every time you check your, it's 12:25 on Sunday afternoon. Every time you look at your time, you testify that Christ really did come. What you talking about, preacher? Christ was so awesome. Jesus Christ was so awesome that he split time in half. The Romans, they said, well, we're not gonna let Julius Caesar do it, Brother Jeff. We're not gonna let this person do it. Jesus Christ, he is so awesome. We're gonna give two sets of time. It's before Christ, then Christ came on the scene, and then it's AD after his death. Christ divided historical time. Christ came. He came. And he's coming back again one day. I say he's coming back again. So you want to make sure you're not a fake worshiper. You want to make sure you're not a ritualistic worshiper. You want to make sure you're a real worshiper. That when he comes back again one day, oh, you'll be ready. You'll be ready. So real or fake or ritualistic. Verses 5 and 6 once again tells us, it gives us a warning really in verses 5 and 6 of Matthew 2. You can have the scriptures. I mentioned this earlier. You can have a Bible in your hands. And you can possess some intellectual knowledge of Jesus, but still not have a personal relationship with Jesus. You can know about him, but don't know him. See, these guys, the scribes and Pharisees, the scribes and the chief priests, they knew about him. They even went to the scripture and said, hey, oh, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. That's what Micah said, Micah 5:2. They knew about him, but didn't really know him. See, you can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him personally and experientially. So you got to know him for yourself. When you take this test, you got to make sure you fall in the right category, that you are a real worshiper, not a ritualistic worshiper, not a fake worshiper, but a real worshiper. Real worship. See, some people who are ritualistic worshipers, they come to church and they say, well, okay, if the choir sang my right song, or, you know, or if the preacher's right on point, oh, I can get my worship on then. No. You should come in worshiping the Lord. Matter of fact, you should start worshiping the Lord when you got up this morning. I heard Steve say he was listening to a sermon at home this morning. You should be worshiping him yesterday and Friday. You should come in and say, I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You should enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You should say, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You should say, lift up your head, oh, you gates, that the King of glory might come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. You should come in worshiping. You should leave out worshiping. You should worship on Monday. You should worship on Tuesday. You should worship on Wednesday. You should worship on Thursday. Any worshipers in the house this morning? Any real worshipers in the house? I don't have to wait for the choir to pump me up, or the preacher to pump me up, or the praise and worship leader to pump me up. All that stuff is okay, but just think about God and who he is. That's enough to pump me up. That's enough to get me excited. Just thinking about who he is himself, Sister Howie. Just thinking about who the Lord is. That's reason enough to worship him. I said, that's reason enough to worship him. Just worship him because, listen. I'm going to make it real simple. Worship him because he is God. Worship him because he is Jesus. That's reason enough right there. I said, that's reason enough right there. Worship him. Worship him. Then we see in verse 6, as I hasten on, it says, Jesus, he shall come and be a ruler. who will shepherd my people Israel. So you might want to jot this down. Jesus is a ruler. That's not all. He's a ruler, but he's also our shepherd. He rules us and he shepherds us. He's a ruler who shepherds. He's a ruler who shepherds. He's a king. He's a ruler. Sometimes I think we almost turn Jesus into a wimp or something. He's a ruler. He's Lord. So that word ruler kind of evokes the thought of someone being strong and stern. You know, Jesus was meek, but not weak. Meek means power under control. Even when he's getting ready to crucify him, Pontius Pilate's talking about, well, you know, I got all this power. And Jesus, wait a minute, little power you got, you only got that power because my father gave you the power. That doesn't sound like a man on death row to me. That sounds like somebody who has power. So the word ruler evokes the thought of being strong and stern, but the word shepherd evokes the imagery of his tender care. So Jesus is our ruler who is strong and stern, but he rules with tender care. Do I have any witnesses there? He's strong. He's stern, but he rules with tender care. He's a shepherd. Jesus, my sheep hear and they know my voice. Those who are real worshipers, Jesus, they know. They hear my voice and they know my voice. And they follow me and they obey me. Verse 7 and 8 as I hasten on. Then Herod, who is the what kind of worshiper? Fake, yeah, y'all help me preach this. Herod is a fake worshiper, right? Now, then the chief priests and the scribes, they were what type of worshipers? Ritualistic worshipers. They kind of went through the motions. That was just a routine. They were just doing it, just a routine. But the wise men were what kind of worshipers? Real worshipers. Beloved, you want to make sure you are a real worshiper. But look, Herod, verse 7. When he had secretly called the wise men, he determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him. Lying. He's lying. Liar. Fake worship. You know, he's a king, right? Just lying. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You know, as a matter of fact, as I was thinking about that this week, he would fit in pretty good with our political leaders today. He would fit right in. Now, not all of them. All of them not bad and corrupt. But let's just be honest. Call a spade a spade. A lot of them, they lie a lot. They tell you one thing before they get in office and then do something totally different. Some of them tell you they're going to do some crazy stuff before they get in office. Then they get in office and they keep on. They say, I told you I was going to do this crazy stuff. I don't know why y'all elected me. He fit right in. I'm going to leave it alone. But he'll fit right in. King Herod. So y'all find out where Jesus is and come back. I want to go worship him too, Brother Tim. He said, I want to go worship him. Fake worshipers. Fake worshipers. Now we laugh at King Herod. And we laugh at the chief priests and the scribes. But many people come to church for many different reasons. Some people come just kind of ritualistic. You know, that's their habit. You know, that's kind of what they do. Some people come because they have to, like younger people, perhaps. Maybe come because they, you know, mama, daddy make them come. That old saying that, you know, when I growing up, my parents, Camila made me have a drug attitude, a drug problem, rather. They drug me to church all the time. They did, but that was a good thing. They took me to church every Sunday. I didn't appreciate it just so much back then, but I appreciate it now, that's for sure. So some people come because they have to. Some people come, again, because that's just part of their routine. You know, I see, what do I do this week? I go to work, I work, yeah, I work. I go to the grocery store, yeah, go catch this ball game. Oh, yeah, and I go to church, too. Some people just go, that's just part of what they do. Just check out the list, that's what I do. Some people go to church because it's kind of like, some people view it kind of like playing the spiritual lottery. Kind of like, you know, if I come to church, I'm in church. You see me, God, I'm here now, I'm here. You gotta bless me. I may not come every Sunday, but I'm here today. Some people call, they think that's gonna make them get on the good side of God. So many people come from many different reasons. I'm glad you're here this morning. But I pray that you came today to worship and praise the great God of our Lord and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that you came to give to him. And watch this. As you give to him, he'll give to you. But I pray that you came to give and not so much to get. You know, the whole prosperity God was just still out there pretty strong. You know, the nab it and grab it, name it and claim it. If I just go and just get to the house of the Lord and quote one Bible, I'm going to get that new whatever. No. Do like the wise men. They came seeking Jesus to worship him. That's still good for 2018 heading into 2019. It's still good to seek the Lord and to worship him. And nothing new from this pulpit this morning. I want to encourage you to seek Jesus and worship him. That's still good this morning. Don't be a fake worshiper or a ritualistic worshiper. Seek him and worship him. But look, as you're seeking him, God, it's not like playing hide and go seek. The Lord makes it pretty clear and evident. Look at verse 9 and 10. Remember, they had journeyed for a great distance. They had been traveling probably well over a year, year and a half. And so they, in verse 9 says, the wise men, the true worshipers, said, when they heard King Herod, they departed, and behold, look at this, saints, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy, and they were excited when they saw the star. See, God took that star and led them to Jerusalem, then led them right on over to Bethlehem, to Jesus. You and I, as we come seeking the Lord this morning, he gives clear evidence of here I am. He gives us the Bible, the Word of God. This is a good way to seek him, by opening up his book called the Bible. This book called the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Yeah, that's the book for me. Right here in the Bible. He not only that, but of course God has given us his son, Jesus Christ. He is the mediator between God and man. We can, anybody, any of us in here this morning, anybody you talk to when you leave here, anybody in your family, they can have access to God through Jesus Christ. And not only that, he's given us the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is inside of every born-again believer. If you're in Christ, you can't be saying, well, I can't do that. Now, the Holy Spirit, he leads us into all truth. He helps us understand the Word of God. He convicts us of sin. He gives us the power to overcome sin. God has given us all the stars that we need. God has given us that. So he told us to keep seeking him. So seek Jesus Christ for peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Seek him, of course, for salvation. He can save you and will save you. Seek him for joy. Matter of fact, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Seek the Lord. Seek him for wisdom. He is a wonderful counselor, Brother Tommy. That's what Isaiah 9:6 tells us. Seek him for provision. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Do I have any true worshipers in the house this morning? Just seek the Lord. Seek him to be healed. He is a healer. He is Jehovah, sir. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Seek him for protection. Guess what? God is, the Lord is our protector. Matter of fact, he's a bridge over troubled water. He is our protector. Seek him for a closer and a more intimate relationship. Guess what? Jesus said, I knock on your heart daily. I want to have a closer walk with you. He said, matter of fact, he said, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So keep seeking him. He's waiting for you to open up your heart, open up your mind, open up your schedule for him. So first now we see that God provided the star that led the wise men to Jesus so that he could worship him. Again, he gives us all that we need. We have everything pertaining to life and godliness. As we get ready to head into 2019, I want to encourage you to, if you don't read regularly from the Word of God, get on a regular reading plan. We have some out there on the credenza, some hanging up on the wall, going out, help you to read through the New Testament or the Old Testament. Or you might say, I'm going to read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm going to focus on those in 2019. Or you might say, I'm going to read through the Book of Psalms. I'm going to read through the Book of the Proverbs. But get on a regular, consistent reading schedule. And if you're on a regular, consistent reading schedule, as you're reading, ask God to give you wisdom, give you insight, give you application. Because we just saw from these brothers in the text, you can have the scriptures in your hand and know the scriptures intellectually, but still not apply them to your life. You can be informed about God, but still not have a relationship with God. Your desire, your goal, one of your goals, if you make New Year's resolution, I don't typically do that, but if you make New Year's resolution, that's cool if you do that. Make your goal to be closer to Jesus in 2019 than you were in 2018. Can I say that again? Make your goal going into 2019 to be closer with Jesus than you were in 2018. Say, Lord, I want to be closer to you. I want to be closer to you this year than I was last year. Verse 10 and 11. So they saw the star. They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, to Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. First thing, when they saw that star, once again in verse 10, they got excited. The Bible says they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. What about you this morning? When you were getting ready for church spiritually and mentally, when you were actually even, you know, getting dressed and those things, were you excited? Was there an air of anticipation, an air of expectation? I'm going to come and meet with God. I'm going to come and tabernacle with God. God is going to be in our midst this morning, in love, fellowship. I'm going to come with the saints of God, and we're going to worship and praise God. These wise men, they were excited. A bunch of noise per se, or just empty enthusiasm, if I can use that word. That's not the word I'm really looking for. But I'm saying you and I, as we worship a holy God, there should be a level of excitement. It may not always come out audibly per se, but how dare you or me get more excited about something else than we do about worshiping God? I love sports more than an expert. How dare I get more excited about some football or basketball game than I do about worshiping God? How dare I get more excited about some sale, 80% off, than I do about worshiping God? That should be the greatest thing that brings joy in my life, is the worship of God the Father, worship of God the Son, and worship of God the Holy Spirit. These boys, these wise men in the text who we're trying to be like them, real worshipers, they were exceedingly glad when they saw that star again. And then they went on to the house. A little word about that, and I hasten on. It said they went into the house. Y'all see that? Verse 11, they came into the house, right? Came into the house, right? I won't belabor that because that's definitely not the main point of my sermon this morning. But you know, it kind of, for us Bible readers, let's get our manger scenes correct. Can we do that? I mean, the shepherds were there, right? We read that earlier, Luke 2, right? Well, we just kind of read this morning. Some of y'all probably already knew this. The wise men came later on. I pass by a church regularly. It's a Baptist church too. And I'm tempted. You know, you go by there and you got the baby Jesus, right? You got the animals, right? That's correct. You got the shepherds, right? They right there. They came, right? That's the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, right? And then you got the wise men right there. I just read in the Bible, they came into the house. That was later on. That could have been almost 2 years later, you know, right? So don't be having the wise men right there with the shepherds. Move them back a little bit. Everybody with me? Maybe that's just me. Move them back just a little bit. Now, I'm not saying that's an unpardonable sin. I'm not saying that you go to hell for doing that. No, that's just, but get your manger scene right. This church I passed by, and I've stayed on this longer than I intended to. Every night I almost feel like pulling my car over into that parking lot and going up there on their church lawn and get the wise men and take them a little further back. So if y'all watch the evening news, there's a local pastor is caught for up on the trespass and all that. Y'all just get a little collection and you'll come bail me out. I'm like, the wise men weren't there yet. They were on their way. They should know that. The church should know that. But I digress. But they came into the house. But look how they came, though. Remember, these are the true worshipers. These are real worshipers. They saw Jesus, who was a young child at that time, you know, year and a half, 2 years old. And they saw Mary, and they fell down and worshipped him. They fell down and worshipped him. It's definitely wise to worship Jesus. I mean, that, 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 Matter of fact, that's always an appropriate response when we encounter Christ, is to worship him. Just ask the brothers over in Matthew 28. After Christ had been resurrected, he had given them the great commission, Mr. Terman, and then right before that, the Bible said he worshiped him. That's an appropriate response to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's one of worship. So these wise men, here it is, this little child, Christ child, 2 years old or a little younger, and they worshiped him. And then they brought these gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So what are you bringing this morning? Let me help you out. At the very minimum, bring yourself. And I'm not talking about just physically, but say, I present myself to you, dear God, my body to you as a living sacrifice. I give you my heart, my mind. I give you my everything. I present myself to you. Here's somebody say, I give myself away. It's a song. They sing a song. That's the very minimum. We come and we give ourselves away. We give ourselves to him. We lay ourselves on the altar. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm your. You've paid the price. I belong to you. You are my Lord, my King. They came bringing gifts. So our gift is the gift of our lives, ourselves, our soul. They worshiped him. Verse 2 said they were looking to worship him of Matthew 2. And listen, verse 11, Sister Gordon, mission accomplished. They got to worship him. Have you accomplished your mission of worship? Worship him today. See, worship him on a regular basis. Like once again, don't just wait till you come to church to worship him. I mean, this is a time to worship him. This shouldn't be the only time. What I've learned even in my own life, if I'm worshiping more on Friday and Wednesday and Thursday, I'm really going to worship him on Sunday. Now, if I hadn't really worshiped all week, sometimes it's kind of hard for me to, as I say, prime the pump, kind of hard to get going on Sunday sometimes. But if you've been worshiping all week, it's just an actual overflow from what you've already been doing all week long, right? Do I have any worshipers in the house? We need some true, the Lord seeks true worshipers, and those of us who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So don't allow us to slip into this habit of just kind of ritualistically worshiping him. So verse 12, and I'm through. Then they being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, I know that means directionally, so I'm not trying to pry something in this text that's not there. So they left another way directionally, right? They went in another direction. But you and I, when we come to Jesus and spend time with him, we leave another way also. We leave differently also. If you spend some time with the Lord, you spend some time with Jesus, you spend some time in the Word of God, you're going to leave there different. You're going to leave there different spiritually and mentally and emotionally, sometimes even physically. You're going to leave there different. You can't come to the Lord and leave there the same. I said, you can't come and spend time with the Lord and leave there the same. Just ask Moses. When he would talk to God, he would come off the mountain and he would be glowing somewhere. They had to put a veil over his face. Well, us as Christians, you and I came to him lost. Came one way. We were lost. We were unsaved. On our way to hell, on our way to the lake of fire, but came to Christ and cried out to him for salvation. He saved our souls. So we came to him lost, but left there found and saved and sanctified and satisfied and justified. And then we're on our way to heaven. Came lost on your way to hell. Now leave saved and on your way to heaven. When you come to Christ, you're going to leave another way. You can come to Jesus stressed out and leave with some peace. Matter of fact, he says, be anxious for nothing, you know, he'd be anxious for nothing. You can come to Jesus weary and tired and worn down and you can leave feeling rested. Matter of fact, he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus himself is our rest. I say, he is our rest. You can come to Jesus burdened down. But see, since he is a burden bearer and a heavy load sharer, you can leave there feeling less burdened down. Matter of fact, he says, bring all your cares to me because I care for you. Bring all your burdens to me because I care for you. You can come to Jesus full of sorrows and you can leave with some joy. Matter of fact, the joy of the Lord is our strength. When you come to the Lord, you're going to leave just like these brothers in the text. You're going to leave another way. You're going to leave differently than when you first came. You can come to Jesus all condemned and all under the condemnation of sin and conviction of sin. And you can leave there as you confess and repent. And you can leave there being freed from guilt. I said you can leave there being freed from guilt and the penalty of sin. Here's another one. You can come to Jesus helpless and hopeless. Believe with some hope. You came helpless and hopeless, but leave with some hope. Why? Because he gave you some help. You came there helpless and hopeless, but left with some hope because Jesus, he is our great helper. He can give you some help. Are any worshipers here this morning? You can come to Jesus bound. Listen, you can come to Jesus bound, shackled, and leave loosed and unbound and unshackled and set free. Came bound, came one way, came bound, and left unbound. You can go to Jesus. You can go to Jesus depressed and leave with your depression lifted. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? He can do those things in your lives. He can do those things. But just make sure you are a real worshiper, not a ritualistic worshiper, not a fake worshiper. So this morning, saints, whatever your situation is, just come to this. Just come to this Christ child. Just come to the one that we call Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Just come to the one who says, just come as a son to him says, oh, have a little talk with Jesus. He can make everything all right. So as you think about that this morning, saints, this quiz, this test, are you a fake worshiper? Are you a ritualistic worshiper? Are you primarily a genuine and real worshiper? Jesus said, this is a Samaritan woman at the well. We know it well. Jesus says, our Father, our God, my God, your God, seeks true worshipers. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We have the blessing. We have the opportunity to be genuine and real and true worshipers. Let us capitalize on it every moment. I mean, you worship the Lord just throughout your lifestyle, throughout when you go to work, when you get up in the morning, when you go along during the day, when you come to church. I mean, every day is a day of worship. So every day is a day of worship. So every day is a day of worship. Father, we thank you today that we can indeed allow your Holy Spirit to put a light on our heart, on our lives, and see where do we fit. Are we real worshipers that primarily describe us to God, or do we slip into being ritualistic in our worship of you sometimes? And prayerfully, dear God, we never slip into being a fake worshiper. Father, always let us be real and genuine worshipers. And when we are not, dear Lord, convict our heart, draw us to you. And then, Father, in the sound of my voice, perhaps there are some who have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, they are not real worshipers. But draw them this day, dear God.